to the country, which is Frank Sinatra sings David Ackles, which is actually the record he should have made when he made Watertown. I mean, the quality of songs that David Ackles' catalogue would have given Frank Sinatra would have been a masterpiece if anybody had had the intelligence to put those songs in front of him and persuade him the way Watertown was created, because he was very good at identifying with things in songs. He did it through his entire career. It wasn't all one-liners, and, you know, he could really paint the picture.
Yeah.
And he could do it right up to the end of his life as well.
Right, wow.
And I saw him, well, not the very end, but I saw him in 84 when he was not in terrific voice, but his storytelling, not talking story, but the sung storytelling was still beyond nobody. Nobody could go near him. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think Watertown is, I'll accept that, because it's a portrait of a town.
I'm
Little
glad.
Palaces is a little bit of my grandfather's rage in that, I think. He's sort of a difficult man. My mother's father, that is, he was my mother's father. My mother's father was a guy who carried a few things around. I didn't know him so very well, but it's like assembled from, you know, where are you from? Are you from the city?
Born in Salford.
You're born in Salford, so you know very much what I'm talking about then.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
My mother's family home, my grandfather's home is in Liverpool 8, so that's, you know, that's as inlivable as you can get, you know. And so that was that's where they started, and that's where I think, well, that's where we're from, and don't romanticize it, but equally don't dismiss it. So this is a bit of both, this song, I think.
The moments of anger in your voice in this song. Closing side one of the album is I'll Wear It Proudly.
I always thought this was kind of like the R&B song on the record in a way, you know, like it's as much to do with, I wanted to really hear Percy Sledge sing it.
Oh, wow.
But I couldn't sing like him, so I had to sing it like me. And it's funny, on the live record that we put in the box, which is from the Albert Hall in 87, the next song in the set is It Tears Me Up. So I must have had that in my mind, that if you think about it, it's a little bit more of a, got a little bit more of a pocket than the country songs from this. It's Keltner. And then Mitchell Froome, I gave him this organ part for the end.
Yeah.
Which he then kind of took and put in Crowded House's Don't Dream It's Over and made millions of dollars for. It's the same bloody tune, more or less, you know. It's my tune. But it's okay.
You're going to buy you a drink.
It's all just a shared language of music, as they say.
Well, it's, I mean.
No, Mitch played. I did. I dictated. I said, play this. Da-da-doo-doo-da. It's very similar to the theme of Don't Dream It's Over, which he then produced about 6 months later, you know.
Well.
But it's all right. I love those Finns.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
I hit these flaming curtains and I, the color of your hair. I hit these strip lights, they're not so doing as you stare. I hit the buttons on your shirt when all I wanna do is tear. I hit this bloody big bed of mine when you're not here. When I finally found someone to turn me upside down and nail my feet up where my head should be. If they had a king of fools, then I could wear that crown. And you cannot die laughing, because I'll wear it proudly. Shivering, dear, and the room is awfully warm. In the white and scarlet billows that subside beyond the storm, you have this expression, dear, no words could take its place. And I wear it like a badge that you put all over my face. When I finally found someone to turn me upside down me. If they had a king of fools, then I could wear that crown. And you cannot die laughing, because I'll wear it proudly. Do you wear it proudly? Do the snake fists and cat calls? Like a 15-year-old kid wears a vampire kiss. If you don't know what is wrong with me, then you don't know what you miss. With your arms and legs wrapped around more than my memory tonight. When the bell rang out and the air around turned blue from fright, but in shameless moments you made my feeling just mess. And a handful of eagernesses, what do you suggest? Well, I finally found someone to turn me upside down and nail my feet up where my head should be. If they had a king of fools, then I could wear that crown. And you cannot die laughing, because I'll wear it proudly. I'll wear it proudly. I'll wear it proudly.
You're listening to Tim's Listening Party on Absolute Radio. I'm celebrating the reissue of Elvis Costello's 1986 album, King of America, by playing it alongside Elvis himself. Thanks for your messages on social so far. Keep them coming to @Tim_Burgess and @AbsoluteRadio on X using the hashtag Tim's Listening Party. It's time for a short break, but we'll continue with this listening party very soon.
Absolute Radio, telling the story behind another iconic album with Tim Burgess.
Get involved using the hashtag Tim's Twitter Listening Party.
When a heart stops, every minute matters. I'm Tom Lockyer, and my heart stopped when I was playing a Premier League football match in 2023. My team's medics were on hand to perform CPR. They saved my life that day. In the UK, fewer than 1 in 10 people survive an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. But you can help change those odds. Learn CPR for free in just 15 minutes. Search Reviver.
Skybet, in partnership with the British Heart Foundation. 18+, begambleaware.org.
This Black Friday, get 3 months of Virgin Media's smooth, lightning-fast broadband. Totally free. From the provider awarded Best Broadband Experience. Smooth like a walrus on a speedboat, powering through open fjord waters. Yeah, that's smooth. Visit virginmedia.com. Virgin Media. See what you can do. New customers. Virgin Fiber areas. User speed a month. For price depends on package choice. GWS award comparing major UK providers' average performance scores. See virginmedia.com/legal/awards.
With up to 699 miles combined range, the BYD Seal U DMI takes you further. Book a test drive at bydthewildrobot.co.uk and you could win a family adventure courtesy of DreamWorks The Wild Robot in cinemas now.
Task acquired.
And remember,
a Razum always completes its task.
Prices start from £33,205. Combined range WLTP. Actual range dependent on individual driving conditions. Price based on BYD Boost version. Other models may vary. See website for details.
This Christmas, there will be millions of songs streamed, movies watched and job searches online. But around 2 million households are living in data poverty, disconnected from essentials they need to get by. So we're giving away free data to those who need it most. If you're struggling, ask for the National Data Bank in any O2 store. O2, see what you can do.
SIM available in store on National Data Bank, subject to availability. Minimum 25 gig, 18 plus, terms apply, see O2.co.uk.
It's not nice when you get a nasty surprise. Gorgeous. Like when you ask for a trim at the hairdressers and they give you an 80s power mullet.
Business is the front, party in the back.
It's just not fair. With Quick Check, you get a clear yes or no on whether you'll be accepted for a Capital One credit card without affecting your credit score. No unexpected mishaps. That's one good thing. Capital One.
Do you like it then?
It's great.
34.9% APR representative variable. T's and C's.
Put their doors in the drawer for People's Postcode Lottery's biggest ever prize pot. In the December draws, you and your neighbours could win a share of £32.5 million. Whether you own or rent, absolutely any door can enter. For the chance to win, sign up before midnight on the 1st of December. A share of £32.5 million must be won. Is your door in the drawer? People's Postcode Lottery manage lotteries on behalf of good causes. 18 plus, conditions apply. Play responsibly, not available in Northern Ireland.
Absolute Radio presents Tim's Listening Party.
With Tim Burgess.
Telling the story behind another iconic album with the geezers who made it.
For more episodes, subscribe to the podcast or listen on the free Absolute Radio app.
Welcome back to Tim's Listening Party on Absolute Radio. I'm Tim Burgess, and joining me on this episode is Elvis Costello to chat about his 1986 album, King of America, which has been reissued with lots of new and unreleased material to enjoy. If you missed any of the show this evening, don't worry. You can catch up on the whole episode by searching Tim's Listening Party wherever you get your podcasts. There you'll find a whole archive of episodes of the likes of Bangles, Libertines, OMD, and so many more. Also, please keep your messages coming on social media to @Tim_Burgess and @AbsoluteRadio with the hashtag Tim's Listening Party. Moving on to side two of King of America, American Without Tears is the next track. Can you describe what's being conveyed here? This is not, it doesn't give any context to the people listening to the show, but our favourite line was, though he wasn't tall or handsome, she left when I told her, I'm the sheriff of Nottingham. This is Little John.
Yeah, that's kind of a rude line, but it's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's like,
I mean, I guess I like rude.
Yeah, it's about. I did actually meet these two women.
Yeah,
okay. In an afternoon cocktail bar, you know, in a place where they were having pre-show cocktails.
Yeah,
wasn't actually in New Orleans. It was in Las Vegas, but Las Vegas didn't scan, so I put the song in New Orleans.
Yeah,
They told me the story of their life. I don't know why. I must have looked like I have the face of a priest. You know, people tend to confess. And they were telling me all about. And they had been GI brides. They were, you know, this is in the '80s, so they weren't that old. You know, they were probably my age now. If they were like, if I'm thinking about it, you know, 40s to the 80s, it could have been if they were 18 when they came to America. There were two English girls, and they told me some of the things in the song are really what they told me.
Wow.
And not the Little John thing, I added that, but it's
a nice twist.
Yeah, but it was sort of like, because it was very they didn't know when they were going to see those guys again, or when they would see them again. All sorts of naughty things happened. It's not young people didn't invent sex. People have been having it for decades and millennia, you know. And it's just, you don't want to think of it being your grandmother or your mother or your auntie. But I mean, of course, they had these adventures, and and these women were not shy about telling me about it. They seemed kind of thrilled, and the fact that it had worked out to some degree for them as well, and they'd come to America and made another life, was all part of it.
Yeah.
And I was and I kind of connected that only in the last verse with where I was. I felt like I had gone to America and never come back in some ways. And my grandfather did precede me to New York in the 20s as a musician. He was a ship's musician.
Wow.
So when I refer to him in the last verse, then it becomes like, it goes from being a narrative song about two people you've met to being more like, this is where I reverse the what I said about the personal, you know, and the literal. The last the verse says, and now I'm in America and running from you like my grandfather before me walked the streets of New York. And I think of all the women I pretend mean more than you. And I open my mouth and I can't seem to talk. That's honestly the way I felt about certain, you know, the abdication of certain responsibilities in my life. But that's straight out of that. Just that part of it is like cold, like the Grand Tour is. It's the cold, hard facts of life just said in those lines. There's no hiding from anything in those lines, because it's exactly true. I think of all the women I pretend mean more than you. I could hear George Jones singing that. He just wouldn't sing the other stuff about Little John. He definitely wouldn't have sung that.
So you come from a long sort of lineage of musicians.
Four generations of musicians of my family, of which I'm the third.
And then what about your son?
Yeah, there's musicians in this generation as well. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Time to hear it. This is American Without Tears by Elvis Costello.
Outside in New Orleans, the heat was almost frightening. But my hotel room, as usual, is freezing and unkind. On TV, they prosecute anyone who's exciting. So I put on my overcoat and went down to find. In Revlon and Crimplin, they captured my heart. To the strain of the piano and a cocktail murderess. She was singing that it's too late. I agreed with that part. Her two English girls who had changed their address. Oh, it seems we've been crying for years and for years. Now I don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears. One had been a beauty queen and the other was a friend. They had known rogues and rascals in showbiz impresarios. While the boys were licking Hitler, they had something to defend. From men armed with chewing gum and fine nylon hose, by a bicycle factory as they sounded the siren and returned into the dance hall. She knew he was the one. Though he wasn't all her answer, when he told him, I'm the sheriff of Nottingham, and this is Little John. Oh, it seems we've been crying for years and for years. Now I don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears. At a dock in Southampton, who did tearful goodbyes. Newsreel commentator said, cheerio, G.I. brides. Soon they'll be finding the cold facts and lies. New words for suspenders and young girls' backsides. Now I'm in America and running from you. Like my grandfather before me walked the streets of New York. And I think of all the women I've told me more than you. When I open my mouth and I can't seem to talk. Oh, it seems we've been crying years and for years. And now I don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears. Oh, it seems we've been crying for years and for years. Now I don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears.
Absolute Radio presents Tim's Listening Party.
For more episodes, subscribe to the podcast or listen on the free Absolute Radio app.
Hey everybody, I'm talking to you. I ain't telling you jealous, it is the natural truth. Oh, oh, I got the eyes and half boots. You're thinking about me and you, and why?
earth are we gonna do? My money's gone. My money's gone. Tax. I'm telling you people the natural facts. And I'm telling you people my belief. Cause I am headed straight on relief. Oh, I got the highs and highs. Thinking about me and you. And what on earth are we going to do?
Eisenhower Blues from King of America, released in 1986. It's Tim Burgess here with Elvis Costello for a listen party. Tell me about Eisenhower Blues.
Recorded for no other reason than we wanted to play more music.
I mean, it sounds like it was done live in a bar to me. I mean, that's, and I think that, and I mean that in a good way, you know?
It was, yeah, well, yeah, there's good and good. Cool as a rule, but sometimes bad is bad, you know? Really, the way round it is, I don't know, does Poison Rose follow this on the record?
Yeah, it follows it, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously that was recorded first. And
yeah.
Poison Rose was the objective of the session. I think I was incredibly, more than any other session on the record, I was more nervous singing with this rhythm section than any other of the combinations because I really, I knew I had the songs that I figured if James could play as beautifully as he does on Our Little Angel and End of Fireworks.
Yeah.
And we have, like, I don't know whether it was signifying anything, but it's occurred to me later that the decision to have a French melodeon on American Without Tears, a song about transplants, you know, about people who have not come from a totally different culture.
Yeah.
We've got occasion accordions. It comes from a completely different part of the world. You know, it's in itself. Joel Sonia, you know, who passed this year, sadly, he was a wonderful musician. He played that part, and he was such a spirit. He came in and played that and was you know, he lit it up, and I just wish we'd had some faster music for him to play. You know, he did.
Right.
You probably know that he recorded Richard Thompson's Tear-Stained Letter, and it was the very last song he played.
Wow, 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 yeah.
He played it on stage, came off stage, and died. And this earlier this year in Plano, Texas. And I thought, very sad to read of his passing. On the other hand, he was playing right to the very end. You know, he was literally playing.
It's
some people
thing,
like to
yeah.
go out doing the thing they want to do.
Yeah,
I know that's no consolation for his family, but I mean, I have the... You're comforted by the idea that he was doing what he was built to do, which was play.
Yeah.
And so with this, you know, you've got, of all of the musicians, you've got, like... If you started to think about the records that these guys have played on, you wouldn't be able to open your mouth.
Yeah,
because you've got Earl Palmer on the drums. He played on Tutti Frutti. If he'd just done that, that would be it.
Yeah,
I mean, it completely invents a way to play on that record that, you know, is everything. And so many other records that he played on. I mean, you know, the Flintstones theme, for heaven's sake. He's the drummer on that, I think. You know, Mission Impossible.
I'm impressed.
Because they were, you know, he was one of, along with Hal Blaine, he was one of the, what they later called the Wrecking Crew, the LA session guys. Ray Brown also. But Ray Brown had this gigantic history in jazz. He, in himself, is like the founder of a particular approach to the bass in jazz. You can hear his personality on hundreds of records. Hundreds. You know, just his, whether it's on playing with Charlie Parker or playing with, you know, for years with Oscar Peterson. It was terrifying to play with him. And he was the nicest, most encouraging fellow.
Yeah.
You know, like, definitely had a presence, but he tried to put me at ease. We got it. I've said this many times, but it's also incredibly true. He said, just before we went into the take, he said, nobody play any ideas into his bass mic. He leant down and said that into the bass mic.
Agreed.
And in a way, it sounds like something... It's like something you say to a child who's frightened, you know. Don't worry, it'll be all right. It was like, because if you do think, sometimes that thinking gets in the way of feeling, right? And last song you wanted a lot of thinking going on, and it's Poison Rose. I mean, the song is crafted well enough. You just have to sing what's there. You don't have to have a lot of ideas about what you're singing. You just have to sing what's actually you've already written.
It's incredible.
And thankfully I did. You know, I did, and it's a good take. And Ray plays the... You know, the accompaniment on it, just the bass in the first verse. So that made it even more of a high wire act. You know, I didn't want my voice to crack while he's playing great. And then after that, I was like, send out for the whiskey, you know, because let's have some fun, you know. And that's how we end up playing this J.B. Lenoir song for about 2 hours. And we're just in there kind of jamming on that song. I mean, I wish we'd really just thought of other songs to play, or I had written 3 or 4 other ones, because I think it could have been like one of those sessions where we'd cut another record if I'd had the songs that suited their style. I just didn't have more songs like Poison Rose. There's more songs like, you know, there's several songs on the record that kind of have a country kind of rhythm to them, but not many that have that kind of... It's some sort of... I don't know. I said I was thinking like Nightlife by Willie Nelson, you know, like that's what I was trying to go for when I wrote it, you know.
With the Eisenhower Blues, I was thinking of, like, you know, the Dylan warm-ups with Johnny Cash or George Harrison, you know. They've only just come out, really.
Yeah,
you know,
they're not... It's not the quality of the music, it's the spirit of his playing. That's why it fades out.
Yeah.
And it's where it fades out and then comes back in, because I think we got the cut right, so it stays in time.
Yeah.
But there's about 10 minutes more of playing in between that. We were just playing forever, you know. Reel of tape, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, just
there was
keep
no
it running.
Need to put a, you know, however long is a reel of tape, 10 minutes or something?
Was 15, I think, wasn't it?
15. So it was probably a 15-minute take of that, you know.
Yeah.
We were just playing.
Love it.
Just for the sake of it, you know.
Well, the Poison Rose on a Valentine's card that you took straight to the heart that you call My Junkyard.
Yeah, that's an allusion to a couple of different songs, but that's of no consequence. But I like that song. We've been singing that one recently. I enjoy singing that one to this day.
That's so good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's hear another track from the album, the third on side two. This is Poison Rose by Elvis Costello.
The poison rose that you gave to me, it left me half alive.
Having a listening party with Elvis Costello.
I got the big light, and you know, I just thought I'd throw it out there, but it has like a like Tombstone Blues kind of feel to it. Love the rim shot, the kind of like, you know, really in your face.
Yeah.
Beautiful production. Guitar solo.
Yeah, the guitar solo is just killer, you know. It's like, but that's a, like another one of those ones that's like of the life, you know, because it was certainly, yeah, that was. It's a bit having a bit of a sense of humour about the hangover, you know.
I didn't open up another bottle of inspiration.
Yeah, well, you know, that, I mean, a little bit. I developed a little bit of self-awareness by then, you know, tiny, tiny little glimmer. Somehow I managed to write all these songs. I don't know how, really. I mean, there wasn't. I wasn't terribly, you know, disciplined in other parts of the day, but obviously enough to write these. And I wouldn't say, well, I only wrote like this because I was drinking. Definitely I wrote about drinking, and there's seven references to it.
In
these songs, but it didn't dominate the way I thought about myself or anything else. But most people couldn't tell when I was drunk.
Right.
That was one of those people. That's why I had to stop, because I think it was like I was probably doing more damage because I had to just resist. Some people were happy drunks. I was like I wasn't sullen. I was just like silent. You know, but like the only time I didn't talk was when I was loaded, you know. So maybe this is something, I think there is something that I will say is true, and really incredible thing. I don't know if you've seen the documentary, I think it's 2 or 3 part with Wayne Shorter. He talks about drinking brandy early on, and it created a space around him in which other people couldn't enter. And he wasn't by any means recommending it or saying that's the way to do it, kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I did recognize that zone.
In my own experience,
there was a time when gin was my drink, and there was
people couldn't enter
that space very easily. Couldn't interfere with my imagination in that space. It was my weapon of choice. You know, and I'm not saying that to, you know, romanticize it so much as just acknowledge that it's part of the method to get in a place where you dream this dream. Coleridge, he smoked opium, didn't he, or something, you know, to write those poems. So I guess I didn't do too bad.
I did a whole album on absinthe once.
Well, that'll do it. That'll do it. I just had a glass of it once, and I've never been the same. No, that's part of it. And it's something you have to learn the beginning and end of.
In my experience,
that's the beginning and the end of. Otherwise, it becomes the same song over and over.
Yeah, and I don't drink anymore either. I think it's kind of better.
But I don't judge, and I'm always interested in songs that come from that process. And there's many great ones, you know.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite songs is No Reason to Quit.
Oh.
By Merle Haggard.
Yeah. Here it is, The Big Light by Elvis Costello on Absolute Radio.
Oh, well, I had a little feeling to have a big night, and I woke up feeling small and not so brave and not quite right. Had to face the who am I, where is she, what did I do? First of all, I had to face the big light. Cause the big light came to my window and it opened up my eyes, and it snapped them up like roller blinds and told me things that I can't face another day and night of good ideas. Complication, and I'm thankful that I didn't open another bottle of inspiration. Personality, and I cast my shattered mind over selected memories. I didn't even touch the light switch, so I knew I'd never see the haggard face that would be staring back at me. So the big light came to my window and it opened up my eyes, and it snapped them up like roller blinds. Told me things that I did can't face another day or night of good ideas. Complication, and I'm thankful that I didn't open another bottle of inspiration. Like a big church time, I had the best. Who am I? And who is she? What did I do? First of all, I had to face the big light. The big light came to my window and it opened up my eyelids, and it snapped them up like roller blinds. And all the things that I had, can't face another day or night of good ideas. Complication, and I'm thankful that I didn't open another bottle.
This is Tim's listening party on Absolute Radio.
everybody's bought, but soon that thrill just fades. To be the lover, one true heart, or the jack of all trades. You won't know who to thank, you won't know who to blame. It's just a part of the murdering game. 'Cause down in the flesh pots,
by Elvis Costello. Elvis still joins me for a listening party. Jack of All Parades, and then Suit of Lights.
These are denser.
Really?
These are different type of lyric writing on these.
Really?
I mean, that's a very much denser lyric, Jack of All Parades. Yeah. There's a demo version of that, which we came across, where it it segues into lyrics that are actually in Crimes of Paris. So I think these two songs were kind of, they were disentangling themselves, and sometimes verses would link up.
Yeah.
Maybe they're thematically connected.
Yeah.
Suit of Lights is a much more brutal song. I mean, it's a... I wrote that one about seeing my father play towards the end of his career, and it was very hard to see him struggling to... People just seemed very impatient, and I think it was a shift towards people singing along with track and basically like a karaoke type of approach to the kind of clubs that he played
okay.
in. And I knew my dad was still singing really well. He was playing well. He was very practiced in what he did. He was an entertainer. He didn't get to record songs of his own. He didn't write very much.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the same sort of thing that I could say, well, I'm, for better or for worse, these are the songs I've got.
Yeah.
You don't get to choose. I get to choose. That's what you're paying me for. That's the way I think about it, you know. Buying a record 40 years ago doesn't mean that you get to pick the set list. I pick the set list. And trust me, it'll be better that way. If you actually listen with your ears and not with your nostalgic head on, it'll be more truthful. And we'll get to the good old good ones that you think you want to hear by a route that makes them feel real to me. And that's the only way I can sing them well.
Yeah.
And that's true of Indoor Fireworks, because that's long enough ago. If I put it somewhere where it's not well chosen, where it sits in the set, I won't be able to find my way into it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of complicated associations and memories in these songs, but I never sing songs for nostalgic reasons.
Yeah.
Even songs that I know specifically refer to events in the past, that's my knowledge of what the song is. The audience is paying for you to sing it as honestly as you can,
yeah.
The way they feel about it in the moment of hearing it, not necessarily the way they felt about it when they first heard it, which is a different thing, because that's the record.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want that experience, you have to just listen to the record.
Yeah.
If you want it always to be the same every time, that's why we make records. Songs, on the other hand, are a plastic form that are open to reinterpretation, you know, nuance, frailty, time, circumstances, you know, the mood you're in that day, the mood the audience is in that day.
Yeah.
And all of those things affect the way shows are constructed. So when I went from this record, I knew that if you looked at what these songs were about, it would have been the same thing as if I'd put all the really sad songs, if I'd put Suffering Face and King of Confidence onto the album in place of Glitter Gulch and Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, which, believe me, I did consider, had to be talked out of. The record would have maybe gone down, even more down in flames than it did anyway upon its initial release. So I'm glad that people have heard it now.
Yeah.
And they can hear it. And they can hear where it leads as well. Now they can hear where it leads. In the immediate year after, where it led to is the concert at the Albert Hall.
Right.
Which is the best recording we have of that band playing with Keltner, Chef, rhythm section, James Burton on guitar, Ben Montench from the Heartbreakers on keyboard, T-Bone Walker's kind of auxiliary.
Is this all on the box set then?
This is all in the box.
Wonderful.
And I would say it has a pretty good claim for being the most off-the-hook James Burton live record ever released. Like, because I just let him go. He just played wilder on this recording than he ever did even with Elvis, even on the live recordings, you know. Because the solos are pretty short on the Elvis performances.
Yeah,
he'd just do a little burst, and then he'd be back in the back.
Yeah.
And he would always be there, but he wouldn't, like... It's not like he's stretching out and doing 10 minutes or anything, but the... You take a listen to it, you'll be kind of surprised. Like, it's, I think it's a wonderful thing. I played one of the tracks for James 2 weeks ago, and I said, man, this is you tearing it up at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
This is you playing the Telecaster this.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's great. So what I did when we went to do the shows, because the audience that was coming to that knew from, particularly in England, they'd already been freaked out by me going to Nashville and making a record. Not every, that split the audience in half. That there was like the original people who liked Armed Forces and things like that didn't like Almost Blue.
Right.
And then there were frankly there was like it was a Radio 2 hit when Radio 2 was the more sedate sister of Radio 1, yeah. which we still aspired to be on. Suddenly yeah. we had a Radio 2 hit.
Yeah,
and I had, like, what to me then were older women chatting me up in the fish fingers department of Marks and Spencer's, and I'm going, what is going on here? I'm going to turn into David Soul if I'm not careful. You know, it's like, it was really weird. It was really weird. I realized I'd made a romantic song.
Wow.
And people just liked it, you know.
I love that.
And I thought, well, I can't make a career out of that. I don't have the matinee looks for it, you know. Like, I'm not going to suddenly... Christ, I saw Tom Jones once I was on a charity gig with him once, and the people started to throw knickers at him, and he was like, you could tell he was like, let me sing. Let yeah. me sing. He's one of the greatest singers who ever walked the earth. Why are you throwing your underwear at him? Believe me, some of that underwear needed to be kept out of sight as well. You know, it was like
amazing.
It was like, but anyway, that didn't happen, you know. And what we end up with knowing that this would be a hard sell,
yeah,
particularly to the London audience. And if you listen to the live record, you can hear the applause at the top is more curious than enthusiastic.
Oh yeah.
And as the show goes on, it gets like more vociferous.
Wow.
As they realize what's actually going
wow,
on.
Wow, wow, wow. Next up is the penultimate song on King of America, Suit of Lights.
While Nat King Cole sings Welcome to My World, you twist some song, you hate your sentiment and fool. It's the force of habit. If it moves, then you fuck it. If it doesn't move, you stab it. And I thought I had the working man's blues. He went to work that night and wasted his breath. Outside there was a public execution. Inside he died a thousand deaths. And they pulled him out of the cold, cold ground. Pulled him out of the cold, cold ground. Pulled him out of the cold, cold ground. And they put him in a suit of lights. First editions where they advocate the hangman's noose, then tell the sorry tale of the spent princess, her uncouth escort looking down her dress. Anyway, they say that she wears the trousers and learned everything that she does and does know. If she should tell him yes, I'll let him.
Yeah.
penultimate song on King of America, Suit of Lights. Tim Burgess here, coming to the end of another listening party, this time with Elvis Costello. Well, Elvis, this has just been brilliant, and I want to thank you so much.
I feel like a madman half the time trying to explain half of this stuff, because it doesn't seem real to me.
Well, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Honest to God, doesn't seem real to me.
And, you know, I think you can tell I'm a huge fan, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
I really appreciate it, man. You really did your homework.
I want to go and listen to the Royal Albert Hall now.
Oh, you'll have fun.
Yeah, I will.
Good luck to you. Okay, bye-bye.
This is the last song on King of America, Sleep of the Just.
The soldier asked my name, did I come here very often? But I thought that he was asking me to dance. In my old coat and hat, and him in his red bonnet, we'd have made a lovely couple, but we never had the chance. Now you say that you've gotta go, but if you must, you must. I suppose that you need the sleep of the just. Well, it was a powerful day, and there were black crows in the road, and I kept my strong opinions to my chest. I suppose I should have told them that I was on fire for you. When the bus burst into flames outside some place the poets rest. Now you say you've gotta go, if you must, you must. I suppose that you need the sleep of the just. A girl woke up in a naked light and said, oh no, not again. A brother in the army, but she never mentions him. He'll be tucked up in his bed tonight with his dirty bitch's girl, saying you're some mother's daughter, you know, or is it immaterial girl? Now she's pinned up upon the barracks wall in her hometown. All the soldiers taking turns with their attentions, and as they speculate what she'd look like beneath that thin nightgown, his family pride was rising up as he cast his eyes down. Now you say that you've gotta go, if you must, you must. I suppose that you need the sleep of the just.
That's Sleep of the Just by Elvis Costello, concluding this listening party on Absolute Radio. Thank you to Elvis for taking me through his 1986 album, King of America. Don't forget, you can hear a special reissued version of the album, King of America and Other Realms, right now. If you've heard the show before, you know I like to end each episode by telling you about what I've been listening to recently. I've been listening to Gram Parsons. It's called GP. You know, Gram Parsons is a favourite of mine, formerly of Flying Burrito Brothers and The Byrds, but GP is an amazing solo album and I highly recommend it.
She had faith and she had believing. She let all together and singing, and she prays every night to the Lord up above, singing high.
And as this is an Elvis Costello listening party, and you know, he's written so many amazing tracks. Let's have Mighty Like a Rose is the album, but the song is called The Other Side of Summer.
She don't seem to have any intentions, man.
play Kate Bush all the time. And I want to play Wild Man by Kate Bush from the album 50 Words for Slow. I know I like to mention New Order on most of these podcasts. And I have been listening to Technique by New Order quite a lot this last week. And so the track Loveless by New Order from Technique. Well, we're talking about recommendations. Why don't you recommend this show to a friend? Tell them to play any previous listening party by just searching and following Tim's Listening Party wherever you get your podcasts. Tonight's listening party may be over, but you can keep getting in touch on socials using the hashtag Tim's Listening Party. I'm Tim Burgess, and thank you for listening. I'll see you next time for another listening party.
Absolute Radio, telling the story behind another iconic album with Tim Burgess.
Get involved.